Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very special Hell in the Cell review edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Hell in a Cell at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Let's just jump right into what probably 90% of you have tuned into the show today to hear about, and that is the Cody Rhodes situation. Cody Rhodes did manage to complete his match at Hell in a Cell, despite the fact that he had a torn pectoral muscle. And this has caused all kinds of controversy, and I woke up today and I'm scanning the net, and I'm amused at some of the people, because some people are saying, oh, well, that was makeup. They put makeup on his body. They put makeup on his body? And it didn't come off, right? With all the sweat and 15-18 minute match, that didn't come off. Folks, that's not makeup. Anybody who thought that was makeup never had a muscle tear. That's clearly what happens to you when you tear your muscle. Now, what I did, because some people were saying, how was he ever cleared to wrestle? And that question deserves an answer. So what I did was, I have a friend who has a family member who's a general practitioner. And I called in a favor and asked if he would comment on it with me a little bit and lead me through what something like this is, because I never tore my pectoral muscle. And basically what I learned is this. He gave me the exact term of that hematoma that happens underneath the skin. It begins with an E, but I don't remember what it was. I'll be honest with you. But basically he said, very clearly, this happens when the muscle tears off. And the thought process is, the longer it is between the initial tear and any activity you're going to do, the harder it will become, because it's going to stiffen up considerably, even overnight, but certainly in the course of 3 or 4 nights. So what he said to me was, well, being it fresh, it probably wasn't very, very stiff. That's number one. And number two, if it was clearly torn and completely off the bone, like they said, which we have to assume they're telling us the truth, if it's torn completely off the bone, you can't tear it anymore. So there really isn't a lot more damage to do to that area. The muscle is off the bone. So it wasn't a matter of you could further injure that particular muscle. It's not going to happen. Now, he had also said, if you'll notice on people who tear their pecs, I guess if you look at pictures, and you can look that up on Google, your nipple sometimes, because your muscle sags, your nipple looks lower than the other nipple. And you could see that on Cody Rhodes last night in a couple of camera angles. And that's a clear sign that pectoral muscle is torn. So this is 100% true. Now, as far as whether you should ever be able to allow to go out there with it, I'm going to defer to what he said. And he said, well, in that situation, his opinion was no. His opinion was no, but not based on that you could injure that muscle anymore. His opinion was, if you're going to do an athletic endeavor, you're going to favor that side of your body. That side of your body is going to have limited use. Your range of motion in that area is going to be limited. And that could cause you to hurt a different part of your body. So he said my advice, if I was giving someone advice, would be no. Don't do it, not because you're going to hurt that area, but because you could potentially favor that area, causing you to hurt something else, which sounds reasonable. However, I said, let's just put that aside. Is there any danger of something really horrible happening where you couldn't reattach that muscle or it wouldn't grow back right or anything? And he said, no, it's painful, though. It's quite painful. Now, once you get your adrenaline up, maybe it's not quite as painful. We all know how that works. But it's got to be painful. So there we have it from someone who's a doctor, and he said, I wouldn't have liked to seen him cleared, but I understand that if they felt there was going to be surgery immediately afterwards, and you could be – he's not a wrestling fan, so here's the thing. And we'll get into this a little bit more in detail. I know it looked like Seth Rollins was targeting that area. But Cody Rhodes, obviously, and Seth Rollins knew how far they could go and what they could do, and Cody Rhodes obviously trusted Seth Rollins to be safe and get him through this match safely. So you got to give a lot of credit to Seth Rollins here, too. Cody Rhodes isn't going to do this with just somebody he says, I don't know if they're going to be safe or they're going to tear my arm right off my body. He obviously trusts Seth Rollins. There's that. So there's many different aspects of this. The first aspect is, if you think he shouldn't have been cleared, it's a judgment call. And many of the times when it's a judgment call like that, it's based on what the person with the injury thinks. And Cody Rhodes said, it was solely my decision. I felt that I could go out there and gut it out. So doctor said, well, if you're having this operated on tomorrow, the next day anyway, go for it. You know, I mean, just be careful. Obviously, you can't throw caution to the wind, but you might be able to get through a 15-minute match in which your opponent clearly understands your limitations and will make sure you're safe. To whatever degree you can be. So that's why wrestling's a unique thing. If this was a prize fight, if this was a UFC fight, there's no way on earth a doctor's clearing you. There is no way on God's green earth. I don't care if you say, I can do it, you're not doing it. That's why I tell you, and people get mad at me, but that's why I tell you, professional wrestling's not a sport. If this were, in fact, a sport, you would have had that doctor say, under no circumstances is this guy competing. But because they know professional wrestling is predetermined and your opponent isn't really trying to hurt you, your opponent can, in fact, protect you, they said, well, given those unique circumstances, even though it's an athletic endeavor and there is a risk, obviously, involved in that, the risk is minimal. It's just going to be painful. I mean, clearly they told him, it's going to hurt if you go out there and try this. It's definitely not going to be a pleasant experience. Is it going to do you any more damage? Probably not, but it's not going to be a pleasant experience. But if you are safe and you limit yourself and maybe don't do anything too crazy, you should be fine. So he made that call. That does not minimize in any way, shape, or form, the amount of guts it took to do it. Just because a doctor tells you, well, you probably, it's not going to hurt you any worse as far as your injury, and there's very minimal risk you'll injure anything else, that does not take away the guts it takes to say, this is going to hurt like an MF. This is not going to be pleasant, and I'm just going to have to gut it out. Because I'm telling you, and I'm not exaggerating, there's a handful of professional wrestlers who would have done it. We clearly see now, we are living in an age where this is very seldom done. I mean, how long ago was it that we had a wrestler who just dislocated his finger? So that's it for me. I dislocated my finger, you call this match off. We see it all the time, folks. So Cody Rhodes made a decision, and that decision was, this is a big, big match. This is a match that we sold tickets to. There's going to be a lot of fans out there who want to see this match because this is the strongest selling point probably of the pay-per-view. And I'm going to go out there and give it a go. And he did. And he should be congratulated for it. Absolutely should be congratulated for it. And didn't dog it, by the way. It was a very, very good match. Did not dog it. And could have dogged it. Now, having said that, having said all that, I agree with the doctor I spoke to. I don't know if it's a smart decision. The reason I don't know if it's a smart decision is the same as what he said. How about if you say, well, okay, this hurts like hell, but it's not gonna make it any worse. It's just going to cause pain. But because you have to favor that body part, you screw up your other arm. Or you screw up a move and break your ankle or snap a tendon or do whatever, then you're really screwed. So it's not about the injury he had. It's about the injury he could potentially receive from having to favor one body part. And that's why I say that's risky. But as much as I say it was risky, what I'm about to say is probably going to aggravate some people. This is what professional wrestling is supposed to be about. This is what professional wrestling was originally billed as. You got these guys and they're tough. Okay, it's predetermined. But a lot of this stuff hurts and a lot of this stuff is risky and you got to be tough. And if you take that away and say, well, your hair's out of place, forget it. Feeling a little under the weather, forget it. Cody Rhodes stood up to that and said, I'm going to go out and do it. I mean, this is what I do for a living. Yeah, it's going to be painful. That's why I get paid big money. And, yeah, I know it's a little bit risky. That's why I get paid big money. And, yeah, you know, I realize it carries with it a certain element of danger, but so does all wrestling. And it bothers me when fans say he was being stupid to do it. Bothers me a lot. He wasn't being stupid to do it, folks. He was being true to the business. He didn't want to disappoint fans, and he understood clearly that this moment, if he could pull it off, is going to make him a huge face in this company. And someone that every single fan in that arena can say, damn, whether I liked them before or I didn't. You have to respect that. Because there's not a ton of people who would do it. And I think he did a marvelous job. I think Seth Rollins did a marvelous job. And once again, it shows you how valuable Seth Rollins is to this company. Because again, I'm not going to name any names because I don't know for sure. But if Cody Rhodes was not fighting Seth Rollins, if it was somebody else, there is a chance that Cody Rhodes would have said, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I don't feel that comfortable. He obviously feels very comfortable with Rollins. And I don't think you can give anybody any higher praise than to say, I'm injured and I'm in agony and I'm about to have surgery, but I trust this guy so much that I'll go ahead and do a 15-minute match with him in Hell in a Cell because I know he'll definitely look out for me above his own self. I'm not sure you can give any other wrestler higher praise than that. So congratulations to Seth Rollins for that. Having said that, the ending was a mistake. You have clearly set up Cody Rhodes to be injured and gutting it out. Basically, wrestling one-armed. And you had a built-in excuse for him to lose this match. He's already beaten Seth Rollins twice, which means if he lost to Seth Rollins one time, he's still ahead by one. He's going to be out. And when I tell you he's going to be out, he's not going to be back in 3 weeks, folks. You're going to have to reattach this. It's going to have to heal. It is months and months. He's definitely going to miss SummerSlam. So now what is the logic in having him win? All you've really done is said a highly damaged, one-armed Cody Rhodes is still better than Seth Rollins. And I don't think you can send that message. I don't think that that's fair to Seth Rollins. Let's just say the original match was supposed to be exactly the way it went down and Seth Rollins loses. I have no problem with that. Once the injury occurred, and you said it's a very visible injury, when you take your shirt off, people are going to see this hematoma under the skin, and it's large and very visible. We have a built-in excuse for you to lose. And if we somehow make it look like Seth Rollins lays it in even heavier than he should, and you've got to be helped out of the arena, and you're out for 4 or 5 months, we have a really, really hot feud coming back. Instead, you ended the feud. Theoretically, you ended the feud. And I don't understand for the life of me how you can make Seth Rollins look like I can't even be the wounded and highly handicapped Cody Rhodes. I can't understand that. So as much as I give Cody all the credit in the world for gutting it out, because that's truly someone who cares about the fans, and I told you that on Sunday before I even knew he was actually going to compete. I give him all the credit in the world. I give Seth Rollins all the credit in the world. I don't like the ending because it does not make sense. It undermines Seth Rollins as a performer, and it doesn't put any branches on that tree. Cody Rhodes is gone for months and months. Could he not have just lost to Seth Rollins and have you say, well, under the circumstances, of course, look, well, Cody shouldn't even probably been in the ring. And Seth is going to brag about that. And look what he did. What a scumbag. Look how he targeted it. And poor Cody had to be helped out of the ring. That is a built-in storyline, and yet didn't take it. So while I give Cody and Seth both, Todd, all the credit in the world, I don't think this was the proper ending to this match.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Cody Rhodes and being injured and everything, and, you know, you got to give both of them credit to finish the match anyway. And, you know, he wrestled injured. He toughed it out. Like some other superstar didn't want to tough a match out, like Sin Cara with his finger.
Right, but don't you think the ending should have been Seth Rollins winning this one so it made it look like he hurt Cody even worse so that the time off out is explained?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right on that, Cody. You're absolutely right about that with Seth Rollins. He should have won that match anyway.
You know what this is the equivalent of? This is the equivalent of loser gets their head shaved, and then the guy who wins the next night shaves his head anyway and says, well, I was getting a haircut anyway. Well, then I don't know. Why did you win? That's dumb. Well, that's the same thing here. If Cody's going to be out for months, why win? Well, what's the deal? Well, I'll tell you what the deal probably is. The deal probably is, this is a message to all the other AEW guys who say WWE won't treat me fairly. Look what they've done with Cody. He hasn't lost. 3 times in a row, he's beaten Seth Rollins. And I think they figured, well, if he loses at Hell in a Cell, maybe some of these AEW guys will say, oh, see, they're going to start to cycle him down now, which is not true. It's just dumb. Of course, if you're going out injured, you should go out on the losing end. I've never heard of such a thing. So I think the WWE screwed up on this, big time screwed up. That does not take away from the great performance that Cody Rhodes gave under very, very difficult circumstances. Now, I've had injuries, and I've toughed them out. But I can tell you this. I've not had something like that. That looked painful, really painful. And I'm sure that every single time he had to take a deep, deep breath or twist his body, it sent some shockwaves. So you got to give him credit for that. And he also, you know, I'm waiting and I'm saying Seth isn't going to target that area. He might make pretend he's going to, but he's really not going to. Yeah, no, he did. He definitely did. So Cody Rhodes once again okayed that and said, yeah, can't do more, any more damage to it. This is the old school wrestling philosophy. The new school wrestling philosophy is I have a hangnail, and if it gets pulled in the ring, it could cause cuticle damage, so I'm not wrestling tonight. But you better understand I'm a tough guy. You better understand you don't want to fight me. No, we don't get that message. This, you get the message, right? This is what's supposed to be. Now, I'm not saying, oh, it's wonderful he wrestled injured. I'm not saying that. What I am trying to say is, given these difficult circumstances, this is what separates. This guy's different than most people. That's why he's a fighter. You know, we watch UFC and we say, oh, man, if somebody hit me that hard with a kick, I'm not getting back up. This guy's getting back up. That's what makes him special. Well, wrestling, you can't say that because a kick never lands. But when you see Cody Rhodes do something like this, you can say to yourself, hey, yeah, there's no way I'm going out there if my friggin' arm and chest look like that. That's got to be super painful. And that's what makes them special. Cody Rhodes knew, he's a very smart guy. Told you before, talked to him several times, very smart guy, very fan-focused guy, understands the business very well, and Cody Rhodes clearly understood. And I'm not saying he did it for selfish reasons, but Cody Rhodes clearly understood, if I can pull this off, this is a career-making thing. This is something that 15 years from now, people are going to say, do you remember when Cody Rhodes was in that cage, purple, half of his body is purple, and gutted it out? This is something you can hang your hat on for a long period of time. And he knew that. This was his make-or-break moment, and it made him. I still say he should have lost the match. Anyway, let's get on with it and start with the beginning, which was the three-way dance for the women's belt. And we had Asuka. We had Becky Lynch. And, of course, the champion, Bianca Belair. Very strong match. Very strong match. The one thing I liked about this match more than anything was that they highlighted exactly what we said on this show yesterday. Bianca Belair is clearly the strongest person in that ring. Becky Lynch is clearly the most cunning and willing to go to the most elaborate lengths. And Asuka's clearly the best striker, and you don't want to get involved in a striking contest with her. They clearly illustrated each one of these women's separate strengths, which was good, really good. We even called the ending, except we called the ending for the wrong person. If you listen to yesterday's show, I said, they're probably going to, hopefully anyway, they're going to try to set up Becky Lynch and Asuka for a title shot. I don't care which one wins, but if Becky Lynch and Asuka are going to feud, it should be for the title. And we had speculated one of the two is going to win off the other one's move. In other words, probably Becky's going to hit her finisher, Asuka's going to shove her out of the ring, cover Bianca Belair, and then Becky could legitimately say, I'm the one who beat her. It's not like anybody else's move beat her. My move beat her. And you took advantage of it. And that's why we would have that great feud. Well, they decided to go the other way. They decided to keep the belt on Bianca. And they did it with Bianca pushing Becky out of the way. So we called the ending. We just called the ending for the wrong person. Still a great match. But I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a little disappointed because I really don't think a Bianca versus Becky Lynch rematch of a rematch of a rematch is going to be a big, big deal. And I do think you could have built up Asuka and Becky Lynch big due to the fact that Becky Lynch literally handed Asuka that belt. And I could clearly see a scenario by which Asuka wins with Becky Lynch hitting her finisher and then shoving her out of the ring. And Becky Lynch saying, I technically won that match. So at one point in my career, I handed you the belt because it was the right thing to do. Now you need to hand me your belt because it's the right thing to do. And obviously Asuka's going to say, yeah, no, I don't think so. And you got your feud going. I don't know who's next for Bianca Belair. Obviously it's Becky, and I don't know if we want to see that again. So, listen, it is what it is, folks. It's not taking anything away from the match. I still think it was a really strong match. I still think all three women showed their strengths in this match. And I thought it was a hell of a start. Caller, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. I'm doing good. You know, I think I actually started to figure out a way to watch these WWE shows, which is like, if you actually don't watch Raw or SmackDown at all leading up to it, and you just take their video packages at face value in the pay-per-views, the pay-per-views are actually as like standalone subjects. Not too bad, but I mean, I guess I have like two different points. So the first thing I'll do is just comment on this match, even though it wasn't what I was mainly calling about. But I think, I think if you look at WrestleMania, you know, in like a little over a year, and you're looking at the big matches you would hope that they can hold off for, which would be Becky, Ronda, and I would say Cody Reigns, I do feel like they're missing an opportunity here to kind of begin to build up what I would assume to be this kind of Becky Lynch, ideally like losing streak, dissension into madness, which results in her like disappearing for a few months, and you would hope then coming back as a face, like finding herself again, winning the Rumble and going up against a heel Ronda. I think they could keep these two apart for a year, and if, you know, I never trust them to build the feuds anymore, but you would think that would be a story they can start to tell here. So my only hope would be is that Becky loses to Bianca one more time, which kind of results into almost her like fully losing it, which is, I think, kind of the story they seem to be attempting to tell, though it's never easy to know where they're going to go with it. But my first point just being, I would hope that's the story they're attempting to tell, because I actually think it would be somewhat compelling if they can make, I mean, Ronda's going to be a good heel against Becky no matter what, especially if she's faced. So interested to see if that's where they actually go with this or not.
Yeah, you know, all I'll say about that is this. Wrestling usually is at its best when something real happens. In other words, we know it's predetermined, but sometimes things happen that's real. Becky Lynch leaving to have a child was real. Becky Lynch handing that belt to Asuka and crying and saying, I'm going home to be a mother, was real. And that's why fans latched onto it and said, this is awesome. This moment is awesome. When you come back to the storyline, you should have been able to play off that realism. You should have been able to say, there was a time Becky Lynch could hang her hat on. There was a time when I told you you were the best and I handed you that belt because I believed it. I didn't say you were better than me. I said you were the best of the rest and I handed you the belt. If you were any sort of a human being, you won off my move. You didn't beat Bianca Belair. I beat Bianca Belair. Now do the right thing and hand me the belt. And people would have remembered this whole situation. See, the WWE's problem is they think you have the attention span of a goldfish. And they think nobody remembers that. No, well, play the damn thing then. You play enough of the other crapola. Play the damn thing. You had something real that happened between these two competitors. Play off real life to create your storylines. Instead, I'm with you. They're probably trying to do this into the mouth of madness thing with Becky Lynch, but we know that's not real. So now we're just in a situation where we have to believe in her acting ability. Whereas we knew that moment where she handed her that belt and that emotion that both of them showed was genuine. And I think when you have that genuine moment, you have to play off that. And the WWE seems insistent about not doing it, Toller.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think you're pretty much like spot on there. And so, you know, I think the way that you also played that too, it could have led into a Ronda match too. Right? I mean, right? Like, I think you're just trying to tell a story over a longer period of like time, right? I think, anyways, like the second comment I want to make, and I'm sure I'm just tuning in now, and I'm sure a lot of people have said it, and if they haven't, then I don't agree fully with the other side of the take, but I just think what Cody did yesterday was just pretty amazing to me. I think, like, there are moments in time occasionally where, and Cody is such a, I would say, like, divisive figure, right? Like, he cuts promos that you're kind of cringe sometimes. His messaging is not always clear. I think WWE, he's been better. But I just think when you do something like he did yesterday, there's just not a lot you could say negative about something like that. Like that, I mean, like just, especially in modern WWE where they protect these guys so heavily. I mean, for him to go out and do that, and look, you know what? I mean, like, I get the argument that maybe it couldn't have gotten worse and stuff like that. I just thought it was pretty amazing. And I think that he earned, and, you know, it's sad to me that he had to actually do something like that to earn the respect in my book, because I definitely respected him, but I respected him kind of as like a goal, smart behind the scenes guy and stuff like that, who was obviously a good talker and stuff. But like, I mean, that's just, you know, that's not a guy trying to go out and be an actor, like, in movies. I mean, that's just like, you're going out there with a torn pectoral muscle looking like a raw steak, and you go out there and you do that. I mean, that's, it's impressive, and I got to take my hat off.
It really is. Let me address that, too, because there were some bonehead fans literally saying, oh, that's just stupid. Well, no, actually, it's not stupid. I'm sure he made a calculated decision. He's not five, and he didn't say, but I want to wrestle. He consulted a doctor, and the doctor clearly probably said, as the doctor that I talked to, as I'd said early in the show, I don't know if you heard it, said once it's torn, it's off the bone. It can't come off the bone anymore. It's off the bone. So other than it being extraordinarily painful, if you're going to wiggle it around and move it a lot, it's not going to tear it anymore. It is what it is. You're just going to have to gut out the pain of it. Now, could you potentially favor that side and in doing so injure something else? Yes. That's where the question mark is, was it wise from the perspective of, could I then have blown my hamstring trying to not use this side of my body to do something? Yes, of course you could. That's why I said he trusts Seth Rollins. That's why I said Seth Rollins isn't going to get any credit in this, but he deserves a lot of it. Because if you're in that position where someone in that shape says, I trust you to take care of me, that's a big deal. I don't know if you can give anybody a higher compliment than that. Now, what Cody Rhodes did, I hate to say this, I'm 100% with you. I think he gutted it out, and it was incredible. What Cody Rhodes did shouldn't be amazing. It should be standard with some of these wrestlers. You're supposed to be tough guys. Gone is the era where people do this. Now somebody gets, like I said, they get a cute, you know, they get a hangnail, and they're like, well, I'm not doing that. It could rip my cuticle. Well, I don't know then. But remember, I'm a tough guy. Well, you know, come on. What Cody Rhodes did was a calculated decision but I'm not going to take away his, listen, I've talked to Cody Rhodes. I know for a fact that it's not a bullshit story. Cody Rhodes genuinely cares about the fans. There's a lot of wrestlers who say, oh, the fans, and they're full of crap. Cody Rhodes is not full of crap. However, I do think he also said, if I can manage this, and I think I can because I trust Seth Rollins, this is going to make me. This is that moment where people are going to, my whole career, people, it's like Mankind falling off the cage, jumping off the cage. Forever, you're going to see this. And he knows it. He knew that was going to be his moment, and so he calculated the pain and the chance I'm taking. Two things are going to happen. One, fans are going to get what they paid for, and I'm not going to disappoint them. Two, this makes me. This is a moment for the ages where this will be shown forever. And I can do nothing else but applaud him, because I think that's what professional wrestling is supposed to be, Toler.
Yeah, I mean, and that, like, the thing you just said, the last thing, professional wrestling, I think that was the key. Like, when is the last time you watched WWE and professional wrestling? Like, that's what that felt like, right? Like, when I was watching that, when he took that buckle bomb Like, you know what? It actually is interesting because you said, right, wrestling is at its best when you sit there and you think, like, there's a little bit of realism to this, right? And to me, that goes with the in-ring violence, too, which is, like, you know it's fake. Mm-hmm. You know they're not actually punching each other in the face. But you know what? I don't care what you train or do. No one trains you to take a buckle bomb with a torn pectoral muscle through a table. So you're sitting there, and it's that – it's not like I'm dumping him on his head or, like, there's something that's going to kill him. No, it's like you're sitting there like, ah, you know, like you just your body, like, flinches for a second because you just know that hurts. Like, you know, I don't care what this is. I don't care how fake this is. That hurts. I know they're not fighting. I know this isn't a real storyline, but I know that just hurts. And it's that little.
Absolutely 100% correct. And let me say this, too. They wrote that in on purpose. In other words, those two guys are saying, we got to have a moment where the fans, knowing that you're hurt, doesn't clearly say, oh, but look, Seth Rollins isn't going anywhere near that injury. He's not really trying to capitalize on it. You can tell he's protecting him. So these two guys had to get together and say, yeah, there's got to be a couple moments where fans are going to say, oh, Jesus Christ, you know, don't tell me that didn't hurt. See, it's the old ECW philosophy. When ECW was in their heyday, you could sit there in the front row and you say, well, they're not really twisting their arm and that drop kick didn't really land. But you're not going to tell me that you brained that guy with a chair until it rang around his head six times and dented it. You're not going to tell me that didn't hurt. And that was the magic of ECW where you're like, well, I don't know, man. If you're taking this kind of punishment, why shouldn't I believe you're twisting their arm? Why shouldn't I believe that drop kick landed? Because that would be a hell of a lot less painful than that chair to your cranium. Or landing in the damn barbed wire that's obviously not waxed, and we can see the pin marks in your back. So you're right. But I'll take it one step further, and I think you'll agree with me. Those guys purposely wrote in spots that would make the fans cringe because it was an obvious targeting of that injury, and you have to respect the hell out of that.
100%. And I think, look, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say guys should go out and wrestle injured. I think you're right. No. If you want to, you should be able to. But what I will say is this. The good thing about how WWE has treated these injuries over the last, you know, 15 years is that you know for a fact, I think personally, no matter what CM Punk said and stuff like that, I think you know pretty much for a fact, if these guys are hurt, I actually don't think WWE is telling them to go out there. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
No.
I think it's quite the opposite at this point. WWE is so corporate at this point, they don't want to get sued, right? And they know people will sue them over this stuff. They're not trying to tell people to go out there. And so
no.
I think it's just a thing, right? And this is people that say, oh, they shouldn't be pressured to go out there and do stuff. No, you know how you become the boss at your company? You know how you become better, you know, you rise up in your job? You go out when you don't want to do it or you're hurt or you don't feel good because what is Vince McMahon going to look at Cody Rhodes and actually say now? I can put that guy in the main event at any WrestleMania because I know if they cut off his legs, he's going to go out there and try and drag himself to the ring with two arms. That's just a fact. Sorry. Like, and I know some people will say, oh, you know, people be like, oh, they shouldn't pressure them to go out and be injured. Sure, whatever. But, like, the fact of the matter is I don't care what people say. That is a career-making move, not just in the fans' eyes, but in the people that you work for's eyes, because they know, right? Like, this guy just went out literally looking like a raw steak at a, I would say, a middling pay-per-view. Yes, he was the main event, but this isn't WrestleMania. This isn't even SummerSlam. Like, this is a pay-per-view that if he hadn't done this, no one would be talking about in a week. And instead, people will be talking.
No, I agree with you. And again, you have to understand that part of this, I don't care if fans are skeptical. Part of this, I'm not saying all of it, but part of this is because Cody Rhodes did not want to disappoint fans who paid for a main event they're not getting. I know for a fact that's part of it. Now, the other part of it is, as a businessman, he says, this is going to make my career, and he's right. However, what you're saying is correct. I don't want anybody to go out there injured and make it 100 million times worse. What I do think, however, is there's risk versus reward. And if you want to break it down to the nth degree, anybody that goes out and wrestles anyone at any time feeling 100% has the chance of being paralyzed for the rest of their life, if not killed. Okay? Happens all the time. Look at draws, right? So there's always risk. It's risk versus reward. And I think Cody Rhodes understood. I think it was partially torn. And they said, look, it's still on the bone, but, you know, it's hanging. If this tears the rest of the way, it's going to be another month and a half, 2-3 months recovery. He probably would have said, okay, well, no. Then I don't think I better do it. Being clearly off the bone, you can't take it off the bone more. So he already understood he's gone for months and months and months. So I guess he figured, look, whatever happens, I've got months to recover. It's just a risk versus reward thing, caller, and I think he made the right call.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, what this does is I'm just like, and I was a Cody fan. I actually was. I think, yeah, he could sometimes get into the weeds on some of his promos and, like, you know, even as, like, a super inside wrestling fan that I am, like, even I would get, like, a little confused or be like, oh, that seems out of place, Cody. I'm not sure why you're saying that. But I think the point being is, like, when a performance like this does is show what a guy is trying to achieve, and it makes you give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, that's what it is. It's like this guy cares about the business, and he cares about the fans, and so I'm going to overlook when he gives a weird promo or he tries to go too inside baseball on things and stuff like that, because what he's trying to do is create something that is not out there. And what he did yesterday, and I cannot stress this enough, WWE for the last, I mean, almost 10 years has felt like a Saturday morning cartoon, and yesterday felt extremely different. And it's a message to AEW wrestlers, I think, that you can come to WWE and maybe they'll book you well. Like, you can come here. This is not like you're going to come here and we're going to bury you into the ground and make you a barking dog like Butch. If you make yourself a star in AEW, maybe you can come to WWE and continue that same path. And that's a big message, and that will make the wrestling industry very exciting if we can actually start to see that. I'm going to hold my breath because WWE is...
I think that's true. I think what you're saying is exactly true. I also think that, however, I have to be critical of one thing. If your main guy in this match is going out for 4 months, I don't know why he wins. I just don't understand. Because you've got the built-in story of Seth Rollins taking advantage of a clearly brave Cody Rhodes who stumbles out to the ring at about 40% of what he should be, and Seth Rollins spends the next 3 months bragging about it, or 4 months. I don't understand that booking. That's the only thing. If Cody Rhodes had lost that match, I would have literally had more interest than I do now. But having said that, I was the one who said, Cody Rhodes just hits me as a heel. He has that smarmy sort of used car salesman, you know, perfect hair, perfect whatever. He always, as a disingenuous heel. Last night was the first time that I literally said, no, that's a face. That's a big baby face now, and he's going to be real big as a baby face. So he did at least do that, caller. But you know what I mean? I think Seth Rollins had to take that match based on the circumstance.
God, you know, I was sitting there the whole time thinking, okay, so Rollins is going to win. They're going to set up Cody's comeback match in 4 to 5 months or whatever, Survivor Series or something, blah, blah, blah. But when Cody won, I think the one positive I took from it, like not from a feud standpoint, was just like, that was Vince McMahon being like, this dude is one of my stars. Like, this is one, like, that's what Vince McMahon does when he, like, he has John Cena, whether it's bad or good. He hasn't beat people in 1-on-3 matches. He hasn't beat him when he has one leg, right? So I do think it was really interesting, at least for me. Like, that was a stamp of, like, Vince McMahon basically saying, this dude is my star. Right? Which I, like, you
know. Yes, but then, you know, Seth Rollins is a star too, and has carried this company for a while. And if your message to fans is Seth Rollins at his best can't beat a one-armed dude who's is ready to go under the knife tomorrow in Hell in a Cell, ouch. How are we supposed to expect Seth Rollins going to beat anybody healthy? Then what's the message? Oh, well, the guy that Seth Rollins just beat couldn't carry Cody Rhodes' water? I think you have to understand that and say, based on the circumstance, whether we want you to win Cody or not, we can't make it appear Seth Rollins can't beat a one-armed guy. We just can't. Cody's not supposed to be John Cena. Cody's supposed to be the underdog. He's supposed to be the guy who's chasing his dream but hasn't reached it yet. Cody's not the Undertaker. He's not these people that you say, oh, well, forget it. You know, you're not going to be able to beat him anyway. 99% of the people are not going to ever get a victory over this guy. I don't think he's supposed to be that. So that one bothered me a little bit. Listen, gutting out a performance like that, I can't be too critical. As far as the rest of the show is concerned, I do think Madcap Moss did well enough to earn the fans' respect. I do not think he needs to keep the name Madcap Moss. I don't understand, Todd, why the man's named Madcap and he's no longer telling jokes. Well, what the hell is the? You just change his name to Riddick Moss or whatever it is.
Well, you're absolutely right. Like you said, they should drop the Madcap. Just call him Moss or something for a last name or something. More like a vicious, not vicious, more intimidated face or something.
You can't call somebody Madcap and he doesn't tell the jokes anymore. I mean, we know he used to be Madcap Moss. Now you said he's coming back and he's no more jokes, no more Mr. Funny Guy. Okay, well, then change his name. You'd think that would be obvious. However, I did see some Madcap Moss signs in the audience and stuff, so hey, maybe he's getting over. We'll see. Bobby Lashley and I was surprised, and in a nice way, that the fans really took to Bobby Lashley. They were indeed cheering him, and they were indeed giving him, accolades. But I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me, but Bobby Lashley without MVP is just boring. It's just boring. And we knew MVP was going to take the loss. We knew that. That was as clear as the nose on your face. So, okay, we had Cedric Alexander interfere. I don't care. Cedric Alexander. Here's what they're going to do with this. You wait and see. Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, and Bobby Lashley are going to get back together as the Hurt Business without MVP, and they are going to feud with the Bloodline. Watch how quick that happens. He didn't pick that belt up out of the audience and parade around with it for fun. That was the message. I'm coming after Roman Reigns, and he's going to need some backup, and guess who the backup's going to be? It could be good. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. That could be good. But, man, it would have been so much better with MVP, because then you would have had MVP and Paul Heyman being able to go at it on the microphone. It just would have been so much better. I really think they dropped the ball. Almost doesn't necessarily need a manager. He doesn't necessarily even need to say anything. He's 7 foot whatever the hell he is. Just let him go out there and crush people if that's what he wants to do or you want him to do. So we'll see where that goes. Truthfully, the rest of the card felt sort of just like a Monday Night Raw card, I guess. There was nothing spectacular. There was nothing terrible. I mean, I don't think anything terrible happened. I didn't see any matches that I said, okay, that's garbage, so I guess that's a good thing. But there weren't too many. I mean, Ezekiel, I don't even understand where this is coming from. I really thought they were going to pull the angle where Kevin Owens beat the hell out of Ezekiel to the point where he was going to have to be carried out on the freaking stretcher, only to have in a couple of weeks Elias come back, even if he has to have hair extensions and a fake beard, and have Kevin Owens go the exact opposite way and say, you're Ezekiel. No, I'm Elias. No, you're Ezekiel. I think that would have been funny, and it would have been the payoff to this whole punchline, because this whole thing's basically just been really a comedy angle. And Kevin Owens is like, well, I'm going to beat him until he tells the truth. Well, you didn't. He didn't say anything. He didn't say he was Elias. I don't even know what the feud was about. Some grown man wants to call himself something else. Why do you care? That's why this didn't work. So, they put on an okay match. But the story wasn't there to me. So it didn't impress me. It wasn't anything I'm interested in. I hope it's over because I just don't know where you go from here. If you don't do what I said and have Elias come back and have Kevin Owens go crazy the other way, then I don't know. I don't know what this whole thing's about. So there you have it, folks. Hell in a Cell is going to be remembered for one thing. It's going to be remembered for Cody Rhodes' performance. And all I can tell you is this. I respect your opinion if you say wrestlers shouldn't go out there hurt. I get it. I get where you're coming from. But can we, for just once, understand that professional wrestling is supposed to be reserved for the people who do stuff like this. Okay? If you're some dude who says, oh, man, I stepped on a tack and I had to call out of work for 2 days. The pain was so intense. You probably don't want to be a professional wrestler. And that was the magic of professional wrestling. At least when I was growing up watching it, I was saying to myself, man, I would never want to tangle with any of these guys. You look at the pain they go through and look at the stuff they go through. Okay, it's predetermined, but don't tell me that don't hurt. And, you punch one of these guys in a real fight and they'd be like, And then it kind of went away. And 90% of the wrestlers you got there, like there's fans in the audience. You're like, that fan could probably kick these guys' asses. And I don't think you want that. And I think Cody did a lot towards showing this is what pro wrestlers are supposed to do. This is why we're pro wrestlers. And this is why we deserve respect. I mean, there's no way that an MMA guy is going into a fight looking like that. They wouldn't allow it. The doctors would say, absolutely not. It's not even a factor. You could say, I want to do it all you want. They're going to be like, tough. You're not doing it. But they understood professional wrestling is predetermined and your opponent can protect you. And you can be careful. So in this circumstance, they let him do it. But that gives the wrestlers the bragging rights to say, look how tough we are. We're not your normal person. We're not the guy who's giving you your vanilla latte at Starbucks. Okay? We're tough dudes. This is why we are professional wrestlers. And it reminded me of that era last night, and that's why I appreciated it so much. And in an era where there are a lot of wrestlers, I don't want to be whatever, but there's a lot of wrestlers, a lot of promoters who really don't give a damn whether they give the fans the money's worth or not. They really don't give a damn whether fans go home disappointed or not. They really don't give a damn. It's like, well, we're doing what our storylines is. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, fine. Comes a moment where somebody, at least in part, says, let me go out there and give the fans what they paid to see. And if you can't applaud that, I don't know, man. What have we become? Does everything have to be super safe and super guarded and politically correct? I don't think so. And professional wrestling, maybe less than all the rest. Because that's the very foundation of pro wrestling. How politically incorrect it is sometimes and how, you have to gut things out. I remember people stepping in to the ring to train and literally saying, well, is that how hard I'm really going to get chopped? Or is that how hard I'm really going to, you're really going to hit me? Yeah, it is. Okay, well, that hurts. Okay, well, then you don't want to be a wrestler. I don't know what to tell you. If you don't want any physical contact, then yeah, it's not, predetermined is not fate. There's a difference. Predetermined means we know who's going to win and we're not trying to kill you. Fake is anybody can do it because nothing hurts and everything is safe and easy. That's not true. That's not close to true. So Cody Rhodes reminded us all of that last night. So what can I give Hell in a Cell as a rating? Well, look, the women's match was a solid match. I don't like that Bianca won. I still say it would have been better if you had Asuka and Becky Lynch for that belt. I don't think Bianca even needs it at this point. I think Madcap Moss did a little bit to help his career. Change the name, please. He's not telling jokes anymore, so he's not Madcap. Hopefully Kevin Owens and Ezekiel's done. I don't want to see any more of that. Maybe we're going to get Bobby Lashley in the Hurt Business against the Bloodline. That's a branch on a tree I'd be interested in, so okay. And then, of course, we had the Hell in a Cell match, which I think was – oh, well, we didn't talk about Theory and Mustafa Ali. Both of those guys are great athletes. I think Ali has very little to no future in the WWE, and I think Theory has a huge, huge future in the WWE. We knew who was going to win. Both guys did fine. It's a Monday Night Raw match as far as I'm concerned. It was a good one, but I don't think there was that much interest in it, put it that way. But what can you do? When you have a main event like this, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, the main event's an A+, but everything else was average, so I'm going to give it an average mark? No. No, we had a wrestling moment here, folks. We had a Mankind being thrown off the steel cage moment, as far as I'm concerned, and maybe even above that, because let's be honest with you. Mankind wasn't super injured. I mean, he was beaten up, but he wasn't out of wrestling for months and months and months. He wasn't facing the knife when he did it. I just think you have to judge this pay-per-view differently than others. And because we had that one moment, that big main event, I have to give this an A. I have to. Because even though I disagree with some of the booking, and I think some of the matches were then exciting as far as the storyline was concerned, this is going to be a pay-per-view that's going to get remembered. You watch. You watch. Wait 5 years, and they're still going to be showing. Remember this Cody Rhodes moment? They're still showing the Mankind moment. Mick Foley himself said, this sort of defined my whole career. Wherever I go, that's the one thing they're going to talk about. Well, Cody just had that moment. And now is the only time since Cody arrived, I truly believe if he were to beat Roman Reigns, he could potentially be that champion they're looking for. I never thought that before. I said, yeah, they're going to put it on Cody to try to convince AEW people to come over here, but Cody doesn't really deserve it, and I don't think he's going to be the guy. He might be. He might be. Because he's gained a lot of respect now from fans who otherwise weren't so respectful before. So this was a great decision on his part. I don't care what anybody says. I think the calculated risk versus reward, as we talked about, and Cody clearly understood, the reward is far greater than the risk at this point. He was 100% correct. And I think the sky's the limit for him now in WWE. So I'm going to give this, I won't give it an A+, I'm going to give it an A minus, Todd. And it probably, without the Cody Rhodes match, if he had got substituted by Drew McIntyre, this probably would have been a C. So that's how much that match impressed me. What's your thoughts?
I got to give it an A minus as well. You know, like you said about that match with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins last night, that was a Undertaker and a Mankind moment match.
It was. And, you know, the thing that impresses me most about this is let's pretend Cody wasn't injured. It's still a really good match. Like, if he was 100% healthy, we'd still be on this show saying, that was a very good match. Now add to it the fact that he was probably at about 40% mobility. And they had to cut some things out. I know they cut the moonsault out. There was a moonsault part in there that Cody had said, yeah, we're not going to do that part. But listen, for the things they cut out and the things that they left in, an amazing match. And, again, it's a piece of wrestling history. So how can you give it less? You can call me and say, I disagree with the booking, or I don't like Madcap, or Theory sucks, or I'm not into the women, or I don't like Ezekiel. That's fine. But nonetheless, you can't ignore the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room was the Hell in a Cell match, and it was a piece of wrestling history. Anyway, let's see what happens tonight on Monday Night Raw. I'll be very, very interested to see where things are going from here, and we'll be back here on Tuesday to talk about it. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.